20 minutes to 12.
This is the flight of Apollo 13, the homecoming, the last half hour to go now. Apollo 13 is traveling at what will be a speed in a few moments of more than 25,000 miles an hour. It's over on the darkened side of the Earth now, descending toward that little spot plotted out in the southern Pacific Ocean, which is the splashdown point, which should come at approximately 7 minutes past the upcoming hour. All has been going well. Earlier in the day, the men got rid of the unnecessary equipment. They jettisoned the damaged service module, photographed the damage to that. Then, just a short time ago, they got rid of the Aquarius, the thing that had given them life through all those long days and nights coming down from that disaster aloft Monday night. And just a few moments ago, from aloft, Jack Swigert, the man in the middle couch, gave this traditional salute to the men in Mission Control.
I know all of us here want to thank all you guys down there for the very fine job you did. That's a firm, Joe.
Tell you, we all had a good time doing it.
We all had a good time doing it. A thank you and a you're welcome. As we approach that moment some 13 minutes from now, when the craft will be 400,000 feet above the Earth, beginning to catch at the first fringes of the atmosphere. This is Reed Collins. We'll continue with the homecoming of Apollo 13 in a minute.
We have now lost track.
Wow.
Well, what?
We've saved so much money since we started driving a Datsun, we can afford to take a vacation this year.
No kidding.
Yeah. I can't believe a car can be so economical to drive, and with a 3-speed automatic transmission.
Yeah.
Hey, how would you like to visit the place where they make them?
You mean it?
Why not?
Oh, we could see the cherry blossoms in bloom.
Yeah.
And we could go to that big fair they're having this year.
I didn't know they were having a big fair in Muncie, Indiana.
Oh, sure, they're... Muncie, Indiana.
Yeah, they say it's lovely this time of year.
Yeah, but the Datsun is an imported car. It's made in...
Yeah, but the 3-speed automatic transmission in the Datsun is made in Muncie, Indiana.
It is?
Yeah, I've never been to Muncie, Indiana.
Neither have I.
The economy of an imported car, the spirit of an American car. That's Datsun, the imported car with the 3-speed automatic transmission from Muncie, Indiana. See the complete Datsun line at any of the over 1,000 Datsun dealers in the United States and Canada and discover why Datsun sales are setting new records across the country. Datsun, product of Nissan.
And this is Reed Collins again, CBS News Space Headquarters in New York. Along with me, Dr. Leonard Riefel, our CBS News science consultant. And, Doctor, everything seems to look pretty good now as we're only a few minutes away from the entry interface with the first bit of atmosphere up there.
Certainly does. I just heard them say that they'd lost track on the now deserted lunar module. That ought to be roaring into the atmosphere on a trajectory all its own, making quite a spectacular show of it as it comes in.
That, too, plus the service module with all those 40,000 pounds of fuel aboard it. Those will be spectacular sights, but the thing we're really watching and waiting for is perhaps the less spectacular visual, but the very important humane situation with the return of the three men. The velocity is increasing dramatically now. They're going to be going over 24,000 miles an hour, and it's going to be just tremendous as they first begin to pick up the first fringe of space out there, our Earth biosphere. And everything seems to have been going tremendously well, considering the flight of Apollo 13, as it was for the past 3 days. They're back on the schedule now, way out there in the South Pacific Ocean. We're going to be getting a downrange report very soon from the landing platform helicopter ship, which we call a carrier, which is the USS Iwo Jima. It's on station. They have an extra ship that is a little bit further uprange. Aircraft have been placed in their positions, and we have several foreign vessels in the area, 4 Soviet ships, several from other countries. There's a 4-masted schooner from a Latin American nation that's volunteered its services. It's out there somewhere on what is a dawn situation in the South Pacific. The men, however, up there and far down the track are still in darkness. Let's pick up some air-to-ground conversation.
Reed, they just got another burst of data on the lunar module, so they might have an intermittent kind of tracking still.
And they're still tracking that, and we expect also that somebody down in there in those remote scattered islands is going to see something.
Time of entry interface, the onboard computer now reading a velocity of 32,193 feet per second, a range to go distance of 3,919 nautical miles.
The velocity and the range to go to the point where you're trying to reach on Earth is, of course, plotted, and you can keep a regular track of that. They calculate and track of it in Mission Control in Houston.
No one seems to be concerned anymore about the, at least overtly, about the condition of that heat field, which was exposed in some way to the explosion.
No, I think that they have probably decided, as they certainly must, that if it is, it is, and if it isn't, it is not.
Well, I would expect there might have been some conversation had they seen any marking or damage to the space between the service module and the command module.
The bulkhead there. Apparently that was intact, and so that indicates that everything is normal. Aboard the command module, some 11,000 pounds of it now. And they have said farewell to Aquarius, although they borrowed some drinking water. The command module ran out of potable water some time ago, so they put some in bags.
Your disky is doing all the right things at GNN. Go, over.
Okay, thank you.
That's comforting. They've got two systems, and their primary system seems to be in good operating order, so they've got a backup.
Say
again, Jack.
You have a good bedside manner.
That's the nicest thing anybody's ever said.
Yeah, Capcom Joe Kerwin, in addition to being an astronaut, is also a medical doctor.
I sure wish I could go to the Fido party tonight.
Yeah, it's going to be a wild one.
Less than 7 minutes now from time of entry into the Earth's atmosphere. Onboard display now shows a velocity of...
Let's go from Mission Control now down to the Iwo Jima and Bill Lindsay.
Man crew is being kept informed of the developments in the Apollo 13 recovery by the ship's public address system. It seems strange, but the very men who are carrying out the Apollo recovery have no access to radio or television, as the rest of the world does, to hear and see what's going on. And so these announcements are the only word that the crew aboard has. They've been informed that the ship is on the station, cruising at 5 knots in a slow circle, waiting for the astronauts to appear and for the ship to dash in. The Iwo Jima will close to about 1,000 yards from the command module in the water as 4 helicopters circle overhead, drop the Navy swimmers, who will deploy the sea anchor and the collar and a life raft, and also handle the nets that will bring the astronauts up into the helicopters overhead. All that should take less than an hour after the astronauts splash down. In fact, in rehearsals this week, the teams have accomplished that in 50 minutes. This is Bill Lindsay, aboard the USS Iwo Jima.
That's the situation aboard the prime recovery ship, the Iwo Jima, which is virtually on the point of the track that the Apollo 13 crew is aiming for. We heard the banter just before then, the conversation between Manned Spacecraft Center, Mission Control, and the men aloft. They assume, and probably rightly, that there's going to be a party somewhere in Houston, Texas tonight, and they'd kind of like to be there, Leonard. I bet
yes,
you would, too.
Yes, I would indeed. That's the Flight Dynamics Officers' party, and those people have certainly done an incredibly fine job of getting them back on these rather strange trajectories that they've had to work out with a very unbalanced, or at least peculiarly balanced, spacecraft.
And we're 5 minutes up until reentry, as Mission Control, the voice of John McLeish, reads out the velocity.
35 feet per second. Range to go... 2,921 nautical miles.
With everything is done in nautical and feet per second terms.
Flight Director Gene Kranz now going around the room, pulsing his flight control team as to status.
Odyssey, Houston, over.
Go ahead.
Okay, we just had one last time around the room, and everybody says you're looking great.
Thank you.
That thin voice up there, that of Jack Swigert, the man who was the last-minute substitute for the ill-fated flight. He this morning has discussed some things with Ken Mattingly, the man who would have gone were it not for the explosion.
4 minutes to go now for entry interface. Velocity now reading 34,802 feet per second. Range to go 2,625 nautical miles.
Reed, I've been sitting here trying to think of a way to illustrate how these flight dynamics people have had a struggle with this very strangely configured vehicle. About the best I can say is this. If you imagine yourself very skilled at riding a bicycle, And then all of a sudden somebody decides to stack two more people up on top of you and says, go right off now. You can imagine the kind of adjustments that would have to be made in the way you react, and that's what they've had to do in a rough analogy.
Well, everyone has done his job, the consumable estimates, the rest of it, the propulsion, what's left, what's to go, consumed propulsion has been estimated well. And it gives you the idea that, as Jim Turner said, everybody was proud to be associated with it.
Good. 3 minutes to go now from time of entry in the Earth's atmosphere. Onboard displays show a velocity of 35,245 feet per second. Range to go 2,301 nautical miles.
Well, we're going to have a few seconds before that Earth's entry interface and the time of the blackout, at which time they're without any communication with the ground. That blackout period will last about 3.5 minutes, a little better than that, 3:38. So,
just a call.
A little hasty signal. Estimated.
Odyssey, Houston, over.
Go ahead.
Okay, LOS in a minute or a minute and a half. At entry attitude, we'd like Omni Charlie. And welcome home, over.
Thank you.
Minute
2 minutes to go till entry. Velocity now reading 35,646 feet per second. Range to go 1,961 nautical miles.
Tremendous amounts of velocity and tremendous amounts of sheer energy to be gotten rid of, mainly by the heat shield in the next few minutes.
That's right. We'll be boiling off a lot of that material and creating a great stream of excited atoms and electrons, which will, of course, stop the radio communications for about 3 minutes. After that, it'll be going slowly enough so that the electric waves can get on through, the radio waves can get on through again.
And we're coming up to 2 minutes to the hour. That plus another 46 seconds, or approximately 1 minute from now, should begin.
Apollo Control, Houston. We've just had loss of signal from Honeysuckle with Apollo 13. Our last velocity reading was 35,837 feet per second with a range to go of 1,791 nautical miles.
The flight path, the point from which you enter the atmosphere and the place you land, is about 1,250 nautical miles. That's a pretty fair approach lane, pilot-wise. It takes a long, long time. They should be about 20 seconds away from entry interface. At first contact, recontact, really, with the Earth's atmosphere. Fringe of which they left last Saturday in what appeared to be a very nominal mission. And then everything came to worms. They should just be dipping into the atmosphere now, 400,000 feet.
Apollo 13 should have entered the Earth's atmosphere at this time. Moments ago, we had a report from the retro fire officer that based on his data, a predicted set of coordinates for splash of 21 degrees, 39 minutes south, 165 degrees, 22 minutes west.
Position roughly between the Fijis and Tahiti.
The period of blackout for the spacecraft should have begun about 20-some-odd seconds ago.
Well, since the communications lash-up is not too good coming back into Australia and back into mission control, it is not going to matter a great deal. And even if they could restore the loop there, the men could not talk out, nor could they hear inside, because, as we say, the ionization and the other artificial things around that blazing ball now coming down prevent any contact, what we call a communications blackout. And we'll continue with this dramatic return of Apollo 13 in a minute.
What are we parking here for?
Well, I wanted you to see the beautiful view.
Oh, yeah, that's nice.
Yeah.
Oh, this Datsun's a great-looking car.
Well, I'm glad you like it.
So economical, too. They say Datsun gets up to 25 miles to the gallon.
Mm-hmm.
And Datsun's the most powerful car in its class.
Hey, look at that moon, baby, would you?
Did you know it has a 96-horsepower overhead cam engine?
The moon?
No, the Datsun.
Oh.
And you know the 3-speed automatic transmission in a Datsun?
You have beautiful hair.
It's from Muncie, Indiana.
What?
The 3-speed automatic transmission in a Datsun.
Oh.
How about your Datsun attracts a lot of attention?
Yeah, almost too much attention.
The economy of an imported car, the spirit of an American car. That's Datsun, the imported car with the 3-speed automatic transmission from Muncie, Indiana. See the complete Datsun line at any of the over 1,000 Datsun dealers in the United States and Canada and discover why Datsun sales are setting new records across the country. Datsun, product of Nissan.
Apollo 13, now returning, dipping down through the atmosphere, still has about a minute to go before it actually is in communications contact with the ground. Re-entry apparently went well, and they should be on the ground, in fact, on the bosom of the South Pacific Ocean, in approximately, we'll say, 10 minutes, just to be rough. And it shouldn't be a rough landing, because down there it's dawn, and there is a long, low swell, no white caps, and the weather invitingly fine in the South Pacific. We'll return, but let's pause now, 10 seconds, for station identification.
This is the CBS Radio Network.
3 minutes before 12, 43 degrees is our temperature in the Twin Cities. Studios in Minneapolis and St. Paul at 830 WCCO.
This is Reed Collins, CBS News Space Headquarters in New York, where within the next 30 seconds we should restore communications with the returning Apollo 13 as it races down through the Earth atmosphere, hopefully slowing down in the proper fashion and getting rid of all the velocity and energy there that's in the spacecraft, virtually by burning it off the heat shield, the usual nominal reentry style.
Continuing to monitor this, Apollo Control, Houston.
They're attempting to restore communication with one of the airborne craft called Araya, which is in the area. And we've gone through this before, Dr. Rifle. Kind
yes,
of
indeed.
Used a hashy way of maintaining communication.
Apollo 13 should be out of blackout at this time. We're standing by for any reports of Araya acquisition. The Araya, a C-135 type aircraft.
They probably are getting telemetry already, even though they don't have voice.
Well, we'll be waiting for somebody to sing out and say hello. This is, we repeat, a normal reentry circumstance, which has been done time and time again. The abnormal aspects of the mission, fortunately, were left behind earlier today when the service module was gotten rid of with a push and a pull.
Coming up now on 3 minutes until time of drogue deployment. Standing by for any reports of acquisition.
That's probably the one last big hurdle, that deployment of the parachutes. On the assumption that goes smoothly, I guess you could say
that.
We've
had a report that Araya 4 aircraft has acquisition of signal.
So they're coming down toward that long sequence of parachute deployment as they get bigger and bigger. Finally,
Odyssey Houston standing by, over.
Okay, go over.
There they are.
Okay, we read you, Jack.
That was Jim Lovell responding with the okay, Joe. Correction there, that was command module pilot Jack Swagger.
We're looking at the weather on TV and it looks just as advertised, real good.
Joe Kerwin, the Capcom, as they call him. Almost all the verbal communication.
Less than 2 minutes now from time of drogue deployment.
Being done by the command pilot. But keeping the line open, there is no communication coming from the spacecraft except an occasional burst. And we will hear all of it. No way of really saying much of anything except they're falling, Leonard, and they're waiting for the drogue chute to come out. That should happen in another minute and a half.
Yes, I'm sure they're peering up quite anxiously just about now, waiting for it to start popping.
Of all of the redundancies, of all the things that are backed up, there are none for the parachutes. There are no second set, as it were. They could probably land on two of the mains, but there's no alternate set.
They could apparently almost surely land on one in the water. They had an accidental...
They'd surely land, I'm sure of that. I think they came down pretty hard on the one when they...
Less than a minute away now from time of drogue deployment.
They had a land landing with one, which indicated astronaut survival, and in the water, since it's obviously a lot softer, they probably would not be hurt significantly. But no sense taking those chances. Let's get all three out there.
I think so, and the chances, if you get any, you're probably going to get all three, and all three good ones. So that is going to be
less
one of the...
Less than 30 seconds away now from drogue deployment. The drogue deployment, these two chutes will provide braking and stabilization prior to main chute deployment. Standing by now for continuing to monitor.
We should, and they should downrange be hearing some sonic booms. Usually you get a couple of them, occasioned by the spacecraft itself as it gets back into a subsonic condition of fall.
Odyssey Houston, standing by for your noun 67 when you get it. Over.
Also can't help wondering what's happened to those command or service module parts and the lunar module. They're coming in someplace, too.
Roger that.
A report of two good drogues coming up now for main chutes.
Drogues pull the pilot chutes that pull the main chutes in a sequence that takes only a matter of a few seconds, really.
Standing by for confirmation of main chutes.
Let's go several thousand miles around the world now and see what they're seeing aboard the Iwo Jima down there. Perhaps they can see some chutes. Let's go to Bill Lindsay aboard the carrier.
Almost about 8,000 or 9,000 feet in the sky, we can see all three main chutes. The big orange and white chutes are deployed, every one, and we can see the command module dangling below it, about 120 feet from here above the flight deck of the Iwo Jima. The Iwo Jima is starboard now, heading directly toward the command module, which is floating down ever so slowly. It still is about 7,000 or 8,000 feet in the sky. We were going to report just a moment earlier that one of the Navy rescue planes had established contact with the command module, but it had not given a location. That very quickly became unnecessary because the module is now right in front of it. The ship is continuing to turn. We're just advised that the command module is downrange about 4 miles. It looks as though there is very, very little drift. That's probably because the wind of only 10 miles an hour today would not have that much effect. This ship is about to tip to the front, I think, if any more people try to get up to the bow. At least 200 to 300 sailors gathering up there now to watch the command module as it comes down. According to my watch, the module made a slightly earlier than anticipated entry. At least two helicopters are now circling about 1,000 feet below the command module. That would be the photo helicopter and the recovery helicopter. We are looking now at about downrange, looking for swim two and swim one to come. With all three chutes deployed, the module will be descending at a rate of about 22 miles an hour. It should take about 4 minutes and 52 seconds to come down. Now we can see that the command module is ejecting the remaining fuel that it had aboard. That sometimes appears as a cloud, which some people fear might mean fire or some kind of disaster aboard the module. It is not. That is a regular part of the recovery procedure. It is important that the module get rid of that fuel before the swimmers get near because the fuel is extremely toxic. It could cause blindness or serious illness.
Well, that looks fairly simple and fairly nominal as the spacecraft hanging down below those big 84-foot in diameter parachutes drifts on down, less is, according to Bill Lindsay's estimate, than 4 miles from the Iwo Jima. That's pretty good shooting, considering where we were back on Monday night, Len, when you were just hoping you could get within the vicinity of the old Earth.
It is indeed, and what a testimony to those systems aboard that command module, having been cold-soaked for all those hours under anomalous conditions and come back and perform like that.
Things are getting very jubilant in Mission Control in Houston. Some of the families, of course, are in the VIP, very important persons, viewing area. And John McLeish, the public affairs officer on duty now, describing some of it to us as we go from the Iwo Jima to Mission Control and back to us. You get one of those three-cornered situations underway. Sometimes it gets more confusing the closer you get to Earth, where I guess the source of most of our confusion really is. We haven't had any communication with the spacecraft, and normally it's rather bad at this particular time.
Recovery, Apollo 13 is descending through 2,000 feet. Okay, I'll cover it in here.
A report from the Iwo Jima that Apollo 13 is descending at a point 4 miles due south of the ship.
Very good shooting, Dick Slayton, the chief of flight operations.
Apollo 13
has
recovery passing through 1,000 feet.
And that's one of the helicopters reporting the estimated altitude as the craft drifts down about 1,000 feet or less from the surface of the sea, which is a very inviting and calm surface right this morning. It's a little past an hour beyond dawn.
Another cheer in the control room as we had splashdown.
Photo 1 splashdown at this time. The three shoes are displaced or in the water.
And the parachutes, of course, immediately disappear in the water. They'd like to recover those. Maybe they will. They're cut away from the spacecraft in order to give it more of its own stability. Stable one means right side up. In other conditions, of course, they've gone over with the apex end down.